Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 803 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So, the Big 12, we were just talking about Texas leaving and whatnot. Bob Bowlesby, he's of the opinion that ESPN is trying to break up the conference, and he's going to lose his job. Bob Bowlesby, who has done literally absolutely nothing, absolutely nothing, and that the Big 12 stayed together this long with the 10 teams that they had and been part of this whole deal. If it wasn't for Oklahoma, the Big 12 would have been the Pac 12. Multiple of the Pac-12, because it's literally done absolutely nothing except Oklahoma. And he said this: I'm absolutely certain ESPN was involved in it with the American trying to poach our members. I could certainly see ESPN would love for the Big 12 to disband. That you think they want to pay these guys, to pay all of these teams for this conference that's a lame duck conference? And oh, by the way, next year, because, listen, how long is OU and Texas going to be in the Big 12 this year and next?
They're on the docket until 2024. But yeah. If you know it's a lame duck conference, everyone is going to, I mean, there's already a report out, and we'll get to it in just a little bit, about Dennis Dodd saying that the American is coming after, the Cougs conference is coming after all the Big 12 teams.
Yeah, well, that's what Bowlesby just, yeah.
Yeah, so like, I mean,
that's another instance
to do
another
that.
One
that's
another one.
Well, no, but you're talking saying. About, okay, well, ESPN is yeah. Well, the belief is ESPN's trying to get out of a financial stake that is going to be a loser
by American trying to poach their members ESPN is behind it.
It's supposed to be 3 to 5, and now they're saying, oh no, it's all of them. Yeah. So initially it was considered 3 to 5, but Bowlesby, I don't blame him for basically just out of spite. I'd say, hey, shut up, ESPN. You stop doing this, because you know what? We do have an agreement.
Yeah, and Bob Bowlesby loses the job. Bob Bowlesby, who's going to hire Bob Bowlesby?
So Bob Bowlesby needs to, then the Big 12 better get to it and start looking to add teams in. Because if you really want to keep that television contract, you better start adding some teams. Because I can promise you that ESPN is going to come back and say, yeah, we're renegotiating this.
There's no teams they can add that's going to save them. What they've tried to do, at least they're imploring their members to stay together, to force Texas and Oklahoma to pay them. Like, hey,
yeah,
we get it that it's rough sailing right now, but we need to stay together, the 8 of us, just so we make it as uncomfortable for them as possible, and they'll pay us to leave, or they'll stay in because they don't want to pay.
Right.
Until 2024.
No, they want that $80 million. There's no question.
All those schools could use it, so that's the goal, I guess. His job is to keep them all together and force Texas and OU to stay.
So
or pay.
Would it behoove them, obviously, would it behoove them to add a Cincinnati, to add a Houston, to add a Central Florida, to make, and maybe the, listen, if all of the, if the American poaches the Big 12 teams, now it's a Power Four and it's a Group of Six. That's what it's going to be. Because it'll still be Group of Five. It'll be in just one less conference, but it's going to be a Power Four, and it's going to be a Group of Five.
I don't think we're even over.
Now,
I
mean, but if Houston, Central Florida, Cincinnati goes to the Big 12, is that still considered a Power Five conference?
No.
Ugh, I mean,
the only reason they're a Power Five conference now is because of OU and Texas.
Yeah.
But they could still claim
not
we're
that OU
Power
and
Five if it
no
disbands,
one's
going to
treat them
can.
That way. No one will treat them that way. If you are adding the likes of multiple group of five schools, they're going to go, okay, you just added the best of those. You're still, what? Oh, Kansas makes you Power Five. Kansas State makes you Iowa State. Yeah, you guys have runs.
You know, you have some basketball prominence, obviously, there with Baylor, with Kansas. But the problem is that, like, how much we're going to find out really how much basketball matters when it comes to where the pecking order from a conference standpoint some of these teams end up. I just think that when you really look at what's going on, within 2 years, there will be massive changes. There's already everyone scrambling now. The Texas and Oklahoma is a domino that fell, and now everyone is in self-preservation mode, which is going to mean get to a conference or add people from another conference. It's all about
poaching Big 12 schools. If you're buying that, if I'm a Big 12 school, I am calling the Big Ten and I'm calling the Pac-12 because I'm out of this deal if I go to the American.
Yeah, you have to.
Iowa State, Kansas State, Baylor, Tech, TCU, SMU. You go to the American and you're back in the group.
The Big
of five.
Ten's going to make a play at adding some strategic teams. I don't know that they feel like they need to get to some kind of crazy 30-team structure. You know, people talk about the super conference. I think the Big Ten may just cherry pick and say, look, obviously they would love to have a Notre Dame in there, and it would seemingly make a bunch of sense, but we know that that's not really the case right now. But maybe they make, and maybe Notre Dame starts to change their mind about how they view conference affiliations based on what's going on. But yeah, I think that right now, everyone's putting their best foot forward to the Big Ten, they should be, and Texas Tech should be saying, look, this is what we can do. I don't think they have a case. Baylor, you know, you really try to sell your basketball prominence, and look who we've got here at our head coach, came over from LSU, Dave Aranda, and we're not that far removed from what Matt Rhule did with the team, and Iowa State could say, hey, we're the fit. I mean, and frankly, Iowa State is the best fit. It's just, you know, you start to ask that question, does Iowa State bring anything to the table other than It's a huge regional fit. They are a good football team. I mean, they've got basketball talent. Iowa State is the best pure sports fit for you and regional fit, but you do have Iowa already. Is it, you know, other than that regional? But I think the regional would matter. I think Iowa could get in. I think Iowa State could get in. I think Iowa would probably vouch for them. They play them every year anyway.
Which teams are going to bring value as far as money is concerned? Because understandably, the sports stuff is one thing, but the Big Ten has a pretty lucrative deal. And if Iowa State's just another mouth to feed, why are we bringing you in?
Yeah.
That's the problem.
That way, and we're splitting the pie even higher.
I don't know that anybody. I don't know that there's a team in any conference
these
that
teams
brings
are, that's
it.
Why these teams are in trouble.
If you need to make it bigger, the first thing I think they're going to do is look at regional, I think, because I don't think anyone's going to add. I think Cincinnati, right at the bat, Cincinnati and Iowa State make some sense regionally. But I don't think there's any university out there other than maybe BYU, who has a different kind of following, that's going to bring anything to the table where they go, ooh, man, we got to – like Texas brings a lot of money to the table. They bring this prestige. They bring whatever. And I think A&M certainly had a tremendous amount of value in the SEC
let's face it. Oklahoma State moves into the Big Ten. They're middle of the pack, if not upper echelon, in the Big Ten immediately.
Maybe. I feel like I've been waiting for this run in the Big 12, which is stunk. I don't know that it's, you know, it depends.
They've been the third best team in the Big
in a bad
in
conference.
12. Yeah, in a conference with OU that BYU that has been four or Baylor times to the playoff.
Baylor was better than them when Matt Rhule was there over the last two of the last. I mean, Baylor was in the Big 12 conference. Have they ever been in a Big 12 championship game?
No. Iowa State has. TCU has.
Baylor has. They've never even been in a Big 12 championship game.
No, because they always blow it against OU. Well,
they had played in their division for so long.
I think Oklahoma State is a team that would be in the mix, too. You know, Baylor would probably be in the mix for their basketball stuff. And it really is going to be interesting because I'm telling you, I don't think this is a very neat. I don't know that we're headed for better. I just think we're headed for the cash grab is so out of control right now. NIL is becoming a little bit of an issue for some people. Nick used it as a recruiting tool, and David Shaw was not happy about it. David Shaw tried to play it off like, no, it just is what it is. You know, Nick Saban's basically telling people if they come here. Now there's rumors about, now you got Quinn Ewers, who is going to be headed to Ohio State, talking about not playing his senior year here at high school in Texas because he can't get his NIL deal in the state of Texas. You're talking about a kid leaving football because of NIL, and he's 17 years old right now.
Well, he would reclassify and just be a freshman at Ohio State.
Well, he has to take another class. He wouldn't be.
He would try to.
Yeah, he would try to. He's still got a class he has to take. He's a little ahead of the game, but it's the NIL is going to, the love of money is going to really alter some things. There's talk about one SEC school that's already recruiting high schoolers to come play in their state so that they can get them NIL money early on and have an advantage, and that they'll give them apartments. Like, I'm hearing some really shaky things, and I'll guarantee you that when Jay Billis was pounding the table for NIL, this is not what he was thinking of at all, that high school kids are going to be recruited out of their own states and away from their own homes and given apartments somewhere so that one college could have a bigger advantage for NIL branding. Like, that's not really what this was supposed to be about.
No, it's not, but it would behoove Texas to join in as opposed to what they're doing now.
Well, once you open the door, we've seen you can't go back. So if you open the door, it's really messy on the college front. Coaches are not happy with this at all from a standpoint of what it's meaning. I know one team that has already had an issue about well, you can probably guess who. I'm not supposed to say who, but one team has already had an issue with the quarterback and some of the star players on the team, where the quarterback doesn't really have a lot of, you know, experience.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really going to be we're in a different place right now. So it's how NIL, you know, is NIL shaping any of these moves conference realignment wise? I don't think so. I don't think NIL has anything to do with what Texas and Oklahoma did. That's way bigger. NIL is about players, you know, people trying to get deals through sponsors or whatever for players. NIL, the real money for universities is TV money, digital money, branding money. There's so many other things that are going to be coming down the chute. I'm working with a company, a player tracking company. They can track the speed of a football that a quarterback throws. Not only a player, you don't have to wear anything. This artificial intelligence can track a wide receiver speed, the trajectory of the football, the velocity that a quarterback throws at. This is data that's eventually going to be sold to, we hope to sell it to SEC Network, for example, so they can use it on their broadcast right after a play on instant replay to have this available. And stuff like that could be a tremendous moneymaker when it comes to branding. You give that data to the SEC conference, they sell it to Microsoft or whoever they're selling it to. All of a sudden, hey, here's another $2.5 million we're going to, you know, run into the conference. It's, being with the SEC has plenty of financial advantages. Do you still think Texas could end up in a Big Ten?
No. They're going to the that was a rumor, and it was somebody in the football world that told me, but it's not happening. They're going to the SEC. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, we'll get back to our Astros on the other side right here. We got some. How about Yimi Garcia? I mean, this is big. James Click, who I've always been behind, has done an amazing, amazing job. And we'll talk about it on the other side. But right now we're talking about Chastang Ford. My peeps, Patrick and Joe, and just the wonderful people. I'd never met Joe's dad, the grandfather, who was a big part. And I think his dad as well. They've been doing this for 85 years, close to 85 years in the Houston area. Chastangs have been selling cars in Houston. And it's unbelievable. And they're growing, and they're bigger, and they're better, and they're even going to get bigger. There's some huge news coming your way in the near future. But there's a reason for this. Again, they didn't advertise forever, yet they continue to be a leader and the number one commercial for Ford dealer in the city of Houston because of word of mouth and because of their reputation. And you know what? That's awesome when you're in the car industry, because how many times have you seen? I mean, car dealers they've got a bad name. Not the Chastangs. They got a wonderful, wonderful name, because they're going to put you in that Ford car or truck, and they're going to get it to you at the best price. They're going to make sure that it's serviced perfectly. They're going to make sure that it's exactly what you want at the price you need it to be at. This is what they do every single day, and you can do that online right now. Order your Ford car or truck, customize it to exactly how you want it, and then let Ford make that vehicle for you and send it to you. That's the way to go about it right now. So if you're looking for that new Ford car or truck, get to ChastangFord.com, or you can go to the dealership and do it as well. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, 5 minutes from downtown. Chastang Ford.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 819 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. For those of you who haven't heard, Yimi Garcia, the reliever, the closer for the Miami Marlins, headed to your Houston Astros. They sent De La Cruz, a minor leaguer who's hitting pretty well. His OPS is nearly 900 this year in the minors. Although he has not been a major prospect for the team. He looks to be not a utility guy, but he can play a bunch of different positions.
And
I'm
his
not
name
sure that he
means
has any one.
From the Cruz.
Yeah,
is the De literal
La
name.
Cruz, yeah.
His literal name is From the Cruz.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. De La Cruz, right.
That's something to keep in mind.
Well, yeah. But, yeah. So, anyway, Yimi Garcia comes and bolsters a bullpen. We've got word from Jackie that Pedro Baez, his velocity isn't where they need it to be. So
typical
he's maybe,
hater tweet. I wouldn't expect anything less than Jackie.
No, Jackie hates the team. So
Hates the minor league system, hates the team.
I think he's probably a Rangers fan. But he.
If that's true, it's not great.
No, if it is
shoulder
true, and it's on Twitter, so it's true. So apparently, his velocity. I hadn't seen this, but his velocity is down, and he's not exactly where they thought he would be by this time, and therefore he may not be very close to coming back. You know, if you get Pedro Baez, who you paid, you know, millions to, if you get him for the last, you know, three games of the season, that'd be awesome or something.
Right.
In the meantime, you bolstered the bullpen with Graben and Yimi Garcia and, you know, with Urquidy and whoever is going to leave the rotation. You got another guy. You got Christian Javier, who had his struggles again. Christian Javier coming in the other day, and with the bases loaded and nobody out, and getting out of that jam was about as unlikely as a thing as you will see in other than Alaskan swimmers winning gold medals. Yeah. Christian Javier coming in with the bases loaded and nobody out
getting
and no run scoring.
That was pretty right there.
No, that is right there. That is right there with it. But now all of a sudden, you know what? What was a deficiency? And you know what? The bullpen seems to be bolstered enough where you can actually rely on it.
It appears as though, maybe we shouldn't throw Pedro Baez in the mix and just act like you're getting a brand new pitcher, because that's a big concern. A guy was on a 60-day IL, and if he's still not where he needs to be, then that may be a season-long concern where maybe he's not going to be a factor and you lose out on him for the full year. I don't know if insurance would pay that for Jim Crane, but if he doesn't play as a major leaguer at all this year, that's just something, you know, that might have an impact on real dollars that come out of his pocket, which could have an impact on some of his decision making. But even the addition of Graveman and Yimi is going to give you better arms that you can rely on in the last three innings of a game. Who do you have other than Presley? Like, kind of Javier, I guess, even though Javier has not been as dominant. You just can't trust Stanek. you can't trust Brooks Raley. I don't really think you can trust Blake Taylor. I think Blake Taylor's a guy that you can trust to, you know, for a certain role. But nothing would be better than really whittling down this bullpen and getting rid of a couple players. When I say get rid of them, like, just don't even have them in the rotation of relievers that you want to pitch. Is Josh James ever going to make it back?
There's another guy. I don't know if you can count on him anyway. There's another guy that.
Exactly.
I mean, we know what he is. How about Baez? Is a 2-year, $12.5 million deal, and you've gotten literally nothing out of him. And if his velocity is down, that what are the odds that he's going to be he's going to be around next year too? If his arm is done, this appears to be a poor 33 years old. And you sign him to a 2-year, $12 million deal. Wow. That is just, and he's from the Dominican Republic. So is he 33? Is he though?
So here's Josh James got struck by a liner. He had started his rehab assignment back in June, June 25th. He made 6 appearances. He was struck by a liner July 16th, went to Houston to have his hamstring looked at. And, the right-hander had allowed 1 run on 6 hits and 4 walks while striking out 6 and 6 2/3. The 4 walks and 6 hits and 6 2/3, it's not great. That's not a great whip number. So you'd like for it to get a little bit better than that. So I guess now he's restarting. So I guess based on the restart, this was 3 days ago, you're looking at him restarting the assignment now, basically in August. You might get him in September.
Have you ever counted on Josh James?
No. You had, but what I'm saying is, that's a guy with playoff experience. He's got a big arm. Maybe that is a guy in September that's more likely to be coming out of the bullpen for you than Baez. What I'm just pointing at is there's a very good chance that there is at least one pitcher between Baez and Josh James who could be out there in this bullpen as well, competing with, but they may not be able to beat out Stanek or Raley for innings. We'll see. It's not like we've really counted on Josh James to be a dominant pitcher. We had those high hopes after 18, but it just never materialized. Didn't materialize in 19. He was out with the COVID year on 20, and then he hasn't pitched in 21. So it's been a pretty long run for Josh James. This will be the third uneventful year for Josh James relative to 19 being a little bit of a disappointment after our high hopes in 18.
Yeah.
I remember thinking this guy might, we're looking at the future. It's a future closer right here.
Yeah.
That certainly hasn't happened.
Nope. Let's get Richard in here. Let's talk about his Astros. What do you say, Richard?
Good morning, guys. I hope everything's going well. I completely agree with you both about how we should kind of filter the bullpen. There's some guy that, I don't think it's Josh Ennis. He's produced by Nick in the afternoon. He was adamant that we could still possibly go after a hitter. And I kept trying to tell him yesterday, hey, we're the number one hitting team, most RBIs. The Angels are number 4 in the league. And then you've got to look at the rest of our division that is like 25th, 23rd, and 30th. So, I mean, as far as our division goes, we hit better. And I know the White Sox messed up, but I'm really glad that we got 3 pitchers and got rid of pitchers and didn't go after a hitter. I think they did the right thing. And I hope the Rockets do the right thing, and I'll just shut up and listen.
Thanks. Yeah, it's sure. I mean, if you could add a Byron Buxton for next to nothing, that would be awesome. I don't know that that would happen, especially, you know, with his injury concerns, his contract, and everything else. But listen, he's been able to do this and not spend any money. So it has been. This has been the best of both worlds.
And not
you
give
get
away
a couple
big
of relievers,
prospects.
And you don't hit the luxury tax.
No, and you haven't had. Once again, luxury tax is irrelevant to us.
No, it's not, because you lose compensation in the draft. We don't need draft picks anymore. Yes, we start next year.
Which draft picks
we
do you
start
use?
next year?
Which draft picks do you?
You go
use?
From end of the second compensation for your free agent losses to end of the fourth. So it's a big deal.
Well, that's a really big deal if you're losing Carlos Correa.
Yeah, yeah.
And are they playing? I got to check the rules on that. But would that also apply for Graveman? I mean, he wouldn't be that high, I guess. Do they? have to look into it, but they slot them differently, just like NFL.
I don't know. I don't know how they slot them. So I don't know if he's a. No, I think you got to be a grade A, whatever, free agent, whatever the case may be. Whatever the case may be. Yeah, I mean it's obviously too complex for our brains, but there are other consequences other than Jim Crane's money. There are other consequences, so you don't want to hit that. And I'm worried about Jim Crane's money too. So that you maybe you don't worry about it, but I do. And I like our owner to be happy, and I like him to, you know, to win big. So 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here. Yeah, I listen, Marte is gone. He went to the A's. Buxton would have been nice. I mean, listen, if you add a Buxton to this lineup instead of Miles Straw, nothing against Miles Straw. Miles Straw is fine, has been fine. But Buxton's got a chance to be a top five player in the league. That's the upside of a Buxton. Now, he's also a Ledmus Correa. He is never on the field. Although I got to get that away from Carlos Correa now because dude has played now. He played last year and he's playing this year. So we got to give it up for Carlos Correa for staying healthy. But yeah, he's a Ledmus Buxton because he's never on the field. And you can't have that. The Astros have gone through that way too often. Look at you're giving $12.5 million to Pedro Baez, who just he's been MIA the whole time. You just can't have it. You got to have guys that are going to be on the field. Are they good enough right now offensively? Yeah, but I'll tell you this: the White Sox adding guys, holy crap!
We own the White Sox.
You just lost two out of three.
Did you see Aloy is back? Robert is coming back.
Oh, wow. They beat us 2 out of 3. That's whenever best before Ledmus Diaz was back.
Yeah, Ledmus Diaz.
Have you seen what he's doing in July? Hitting 400 with 1,025 OPS.
Oh, my gosh. And he'll be gone in 2 weeks. He'll be gone again.
He's 4 RBIs in 2 games. That's averaging 2 RBIs.
In 2 weeks,
per
he'll
game.
Be gone again. And then you're going to say, oh, damn. I miss Ledmus Diaz and his 400 average.
Ledmus is killing July right now.
830 ESPN 97.5. You're killing me with all these jabs.
Well, sight jab is one that can kill your if you're having issues with not getting people to actually convert into business with your website. And if you don't even know what your analytics are for your site, you're so far behind the times. I'm telling you, SiteJab can put the analytics in where you can, you know exactly how many people are looking at your site, for how long they're looking at your site. SiteJab really studies these numbers because what they do, and they've studied them for lots of sites, so that really allows them to understand which sites are the ones that keep people interested. What is it visually that people love? What is it from a UX standpoint, you know, the actual design of the website? What is it that gets people excited and keeps them on the website? Because if they're looking at video branding of your content, if they've got e-commerce available right there where they get excited and they can spend their money right there with you, you're going to make more money. You're going to see your revenue increase, and they can really shine the best light on you from a business standpoint. And that's what SiteJab does in building your brand new website. So make sure that you call the experts over at SiteJab. You can set up a free consultation with them, and there's no strings attached. They've been doing this for local businesses for over 20 years, and they want to see if they can help you, and it really would make sense. They're very reasonably priced, and they are very good at what they do. SiteJab.com, SiteJab.com.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 833 on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776, the number. The headlines today: Astros win 11-4, and they pick up Yimi Garcia, the closer from the Marlins. The good stuff. Rockets going to make the number 2 selection overall, we think, tonight in the NBA draft. We think it'll be the number 2 selection, or they could move up to number 1. We'll see. Listen, those are the only 2 scenarios, though, right? It's either they take.
Yeah,
they
I have not seen anything about trading back.
About trading back.
I haven't seen anything about trading
back. Nothing. So Yeah, you got to.
No,
get,
I do think
either they end up with Green or they end up with Cade Cunningham.
I think there is a scenario where you could see them package one of their draft picks or both of their draft picks later in the second round to potentially move up and get another pick inside the top 15. So I think that is in play as well.
With
that's something
players,
you should keep
players,
your
right.
Yeah, you should keep your eyes on that. Is Houston right now is picking 23rd and 24th, and I think they would be open to moving into the top half of the top 50. Listen, if you could package your picks and you don't have as many players, and you could turn, if you could move Eric Gordon somehow in his contract, if you could move Eric Gordon, get value for it, because Eric Gordon does have value. He's a good shooter. He can play. He can take people off the dribble. Like, Eric has some value, but people aren't going to go too crazy. If you could do something like
a year, it's going to be difficult.
If you could move him to, you know, who knows, Memphis, Indiana's at 13 might be a little bit too high. If you could move him to New York, where's Philadelphia draft? I mean, they're so far behind you. But Daryl doesn't have.
Please,
any picks.
Daryl, take already, Eric Gordon. It's your fault.
It's nothing. It's,
this is on you, Daryl. You should should take him.
I do think that you could see the Houston. You could see the Houston Rockets potentially move up if the right player is there. I would not rule them out of taking two players in the top 15 picks, not just a number two pick, but moving up and getting another one, because their roster is void of.
And you might as well go young.
Really
might as well
good.
Go young.
Yeah, why
yeah.
not?
Yeah.
Well, start finding guys that you think are going to be your next top eight.
And then there's the Houston Texans. Traded Randall Cobb yesterday for a sixth rounder, although they have to pay $3 million of Randall Cobb's contract, which is what the Texans do. And then Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson obviously was the main story. It will continue to be the main story. Unfortunately, he is going to be the main story here, and nothing is going to happen day in and day out. They're going to be unable to trade him. With the criminal charges still hanging out there, they're going to be. He's not going to be playing for them. They probably end up on the exempt list once the season gets here. But this is a legitimate question. Is there another story on Kirby today? Because Deshaun Watson has been the only story for the Houston Texans now for months and months and months.
You know, it's,
is there another story?
You know what the story should be is how is Tyrod Taylor acclimating into the position of being the new starting quarterback for the Texans, although Texans will say it's open competition and all that stuff. But, I mean, Tyrod Taylor, he's the quarterback. He's going to be the future quarterback when I say future this year. How he plays and how he looks is the most important thing to them right now. I think that should be the story. David Culley's Texans, this is something that just isn't, it's just not a thing.
I'm going to tell you about David Culley, who's a junkie.
Bill O'Brien's Texans, well, I don't care what you thought about Bill O'Brien. That was a big, big deal. Bill O'Brien came from Penn State where he had Christian Hackenberg and had done a nice job with Christian Hackenberg as a freshman. He was coming into the Texans. Bill O'Brien was going to, he was a big personality. This is going to be a big difference from going from, Wade Phillips had been the previous head coach because he stepped in on a very short-term basis. But he stepped in place of Gary Kubiak when he was fired. So you're getting a different personality. Bill O'Brien came in with some fanfare. I thought he was a great hire for the Texans at the time. He was a college coach with pro experience. He'd been part of the vaunted New England Patriots before they lost a little bit of luster over the last couple of years through drafting and through Tom Brady winning a Super Bowl with Tampa. That was a big deal. There's no big deal about David Culley. Oh, what's Bill O'Brien's offense going to be look like? No one says that about David Culley because he's not an offensive guy. He's not a defensive guy, like in terms of play calling and things like that. So there is no David Culley story. And right now there is no quarterback story. How does Deshaun look? How's he integrating into the team with his, offensively? How's he fitting into David Culley's new offense? Deshaun into Bill O'Brien's offense, that was a big deal. There is no David Culley offense.
No.
There is no David Culley. His personality is nice guy, which is great. I'm not against it. But there's no David Culley story. There is no, we're going to be focusing on 20 players over 20 days. We're going to look at 20 different Houston Texans. And I think there are some side stories out there, guys like Jordan Jenkins coming over from the Jets and the fact that he could end up being a starter for the Texans. I mean, there are definitely Texan stories. What? To me, right off the bat, I think, okay, a story that I could write would be Sharping and Howard, the importance of those two guys to build this line into the offensive line that we were hoping it would be next year. Aside from that, can Zach Cunningham live up to the contract he signed and truly become one of the top linebackers in the league from inside linebacker? What does the revamped secondary look like for the Texans, and how could it potentially surprise? I mean, you've got different storylines that you could get into, but it's none of it's going to – you're right. None of that is an A topic. It's only
well, – in camp battles. I mean, I'm sure that – listen, who are the starting linebackers for this team?
Is Kirksey – well, they're going to be a 4-3 team, so Zach Cunningham, I think Kirksey is listed as a starter right now, or at least on our lads. And
yeah.
Who else? I'm missing
Camu Grigier.
No, I don't think he will be.
You don't?
I don't think so.
You don't think? Okay. Honestly, there's the depth chart here. What are the camp battles that we are going to have to watch?
So
because I'm going to tell you this: if it's Kirksey or Camu Grigier or it's whoever or the guy that they got from the Jets as well.
Jordan Jenkins.
No matter who it is, Lance, it doesn't really matter.
Well, here's who they
have. Because the next guy can step in and almost be the identical guy.
Because
they're almost all interchangeable.
They have Whitney Mercilus as a linebacker.
Do they?
They got a Jack, which is basically the defensive end, is Shaq Lawson, along with Malik Collins, Ross Blacklock, and then Charles Omenihu.
Neville Hewitt. Christian Kirksey, Kevin Pierre-Lewis, Hardy Nickerson, Jordan Jenkins, Camu Grigier, they're all the same guy.
Pierre-Lewis is a guy that's a real linebacker. Actually, they do have Camu Grigier Hill as a starter at the mic, and they've got Zach Cunningham at the wheel. When I say they, this is our lad. So we'll have to – hopefully I can get out and check some of camp out today. I think I'm going to be able to make it out, but I got to do some babysitting. But the names that you should keep an eye on – and remember, Lovie Smith has typically been an even front guy. When even front means four defensive linemen. When you hear the phrase odd front, that means three. It's typically a 3-4 or some variation of that where you have odd front, three defensive linemen. When you hear even front as a phrase, that means four defensive linemen, just so you know. So – if he's an even front, that means more of a typical 4-3 look. And Charles Omenihu is a good fit. Blacklock, it's frankly, Malik Collins and Blacklock, this is a defense that fits them. Blacklock is in a better defense now than he was last year with the Texans. Whitney Mercilus in the past has fit what Lovie would want to do. The question is, does he still have anything left? So the guys that they're going to have to figure out is Jordan Jenkins is a good run stopper. Not a great pass rusher. Jacob Martin is a much better pass rusher, but is he a third down specialist? My guess is he will not be a starter.
Will he beat out Shaq Lawson?
I think he's got a chance to. I think we got a chance to see Malik Collins go off the field on third downs. Shaq move maybe inside, or Charles Omenihu actually more likely maybe move inside and then have Jacob Martin come in on pass rush situations. That's what I mean. There are interesting football stuff going on here.
But again. Honestly, if you exchange Jordan Jenkins for Neville Hewitt or Derek Rivers, or it's like one giant. Okay, there's just another different body on the field. It's not like a camp battle where this guy is the starter, and oh my God, he just won himself, and this is unbelievable. He is going to be a difference maker on this defense. They're all just guys.
Well, they're guys. I would argue though that there are some pretty good camp battles going on. I mean, Christian Kirksey has been a starter basically since 2016. Last year, he was a starter at inside linebacker for Green Bay for 11 games. Ended up with 77 tackles. He's had 148 tackles with Cleveland in the past in 16 and 17. He had 138 tackles. I mean,
listen, if you got an even front, though, how many inside linebackers do you have? It's going to be Zach Cunningham in the middle.
Well, they've got him at the will. I think Zach is more of a will. I don't think he's a take-on guy. I think he's going to be better off running and chasing the ball. Actually, I think it's great to get him out of the middle because have him as a run and chase linebacker where he doesn't have to take on blocks because he's not good at it. He tries to avoid blocks and he gives up. He gives up run lanes. He's not great with his run fits. I think Zach Cunningham could really benefit. Hopefully, Lovie goes to a standard 4-3, one gapping up the field attack mode defense. Because if he does, that's a good sign for Blacklock's style of offense. I think it's good for Malik Collins. There's a reason they targeted Malik Collins. Zach Cunningham, to me, not being in the middle, being allowed to run and chase, and not having blockers climb up and try to whack him so much. And not having downhill running games come at him, I think, is a good thing. There are some Christian Kirksey. I could see Christian Kirksey, you know, maybe fight. He's not the biggest guy either, but maybe fighting for an inside linebacker spot with Zach Cunningham playing the will, which is a weak side. And then your Sam being Jordan Jenkins. I think that
could be what
we're looking
at. So Whitney
Merciless
is off the field.
Yeah, I don't see how Whitney Merciless is going to. Whitney's going to have to really. I mean, Whitney's not good enough against a run. You have Jordan Jenkins who they brought. Whitney's not their guy. They just did a deal just so they could get rid of him by next year. They just redid his deal. So Jordan Jenkins is a guy they brought in. To me, that's Jordan Jenkins is their guy. Whitney wasn't their guy.
No.
Jordan Jenkins is a tough guy. Whitney, for everything he's done, is not known as a fierce run defender, a tough guy. He hasn't been a great pass rusher. Jacob Martin is, I think, a more talented, pure athlete at getting after the quarterback. And Jordan Jenkins is more talented at stopping the run. So I don't know where Whitney Merciless fits in. I know he's the name everyone's used to. But honestly, David Culley's not married to him. Nick Caserio is not married to him. I don't know that Whitney Merciless is anything other than a let's finish up the season and get rid of him.
No, and they redid his deal so they can get out of him next year. I mean, this is his last season here. I don't think there's any question about that. I don't know where you put him, where he fits in on, especially in a 4-3, where he fits in. He's not a defensive end, and he's not going to be a good weak side linebacker, and he's certainly not a strong. So 845 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And you're listening no matter where you are in the city of Houston, because 92.5 is for the west side. And obviously, we go way east with the signal on 97.5. Doesn't matter where you are and where you're listening. If you're in Beaumont, that doesn't matter. Jeff Aronoff, an absolute marble in granite, is here for you. Jeff Aronoff travels around the country. He does. He told me he was doing some hotels in Atlanta. He did a lot of stuff in Dallas as well. He's branching out and doing big things. He's got guys that he depends on, but he's also a guy that you can depend on, that he's going to come to your home and he's going to break down exactly what you need and how to help you do this. You know that you need upgrading. You know that you need remodeling, but you don't know how to go about this. Jeff Aronoff does this every single day, and he's got books of different things that you can, the different marble, the different granite, the different tile, the different countertops, the different cabinets, the different everything. He's got everything that you could possibly need, all the vanities, all of that, that you can choose from, and he can help you do that as well. So that saves a step for you as well, that you don't need somebody designing it for you, because you got Jeff Aronoff, who does this every single day. You're looking for that big job. Jeff Aronoff is here for you. Absolute marble and granite. 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. It's absolute marble and granite.
ESPN. 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. Rick wants to talk a little Olympic baseball. Not that we know anything about Olympic baseball here
yourself,
on
please.
The show. Okay, name one player on our Olympic baseball team.
Kevin Morgan.
Kevin Morgan?
Okay. Yeah. No, Scott Kazmir.
Scott,
I'm not lying. He's on the team.
Is he really?
Yes. Mike Socha's the manager.
And is Kat Osterman on the team?
No, she plays for the softball team, or as you called it, ladies baseball.
The girls baseball team.
Whatever you called it.
Is Mike Jones on the team?
No.
Nah.
Kevin Morgan.
Mike Kevin Jones. Morgan's on.
Well, Rick knows somebody who's on the team, so let's get him in here. Hey, Rick, how are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you this morning?
Good. How are we doing?
Good. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, we got you.
All right. Hey, just a shout out to a kid from the Cypress area. His name is Shane Baz, B-A-Z. He's about to come in to the professionals for Tampa Bay. He's from Concordia Lutheran. He's 22 years old, hits 99, 100, and he's a pitcher for the Olympic team, and they start tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock. So a shout-out to his dad, Raj, and let's go win a goal, boys.
Wait a minute. His dad's name is Raj Baz?
That's correct. His name is Raj Baz.
Raj Baz. Why does parents do that? Why did he do that? Why did they do that?
To Raj?
Great guy. Great guy.
Yeah. Baz. And what's the kid's name again?
Shane.
Shane Baz. Yes.
Shane.
Yeah, see, now that's a name.
He's coming up. Yeah, as soon as the Olympics over, you watch. He's going to be a starting pitcher for Tampa Bay.
Ooh. You think it was the big club?
Yeah, he was in. Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, he was in spring training.
How do you spell his last name?
The same.
It's B-A-Z.
B-A-Z.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, that's
good for Paul. Go ahead. Good
for him. That's awesome. So he's from he went to
Concordia. Lutheran.
Yeah.
Lutheran.
And throws a hundy. Wow. That's good. Well, thanks, Rick. We appreciate it. We'll be watching for him. We'll be watching for Shane Baz, the Shaner. I'm going to call him the Shaner.
Okay.
He was the 71st ranked prospect in 2020 from Baseball America.
Now this year,
he's a top 100 kid. That's great.
But this year he has thrown in AAA and AA. He has 12 games started. Combined, he has thrown 55 and two thirds innings pitched, gave up 37 hits, struck out 82, and only walked 10.
Oh, 8-1. Nice.
Well, that's pretty sporty.
That is good.
Whip number 7.35 and 1.0 at the two spots. Strikeout per nine innings pitch is good, 12.9 and 13.5. Yeah, you throw
this
that hard.
This is where?
This is in AAA, Durham, and also AA, Montgomery.
Wow, those are good numbers.
Yeah, and if he's an Olympian, I mean, he's got some ability.
Pitchers. Tampa knows how to find pitchers.
No, man.
That sucks.
I wish we were Tampa sometimes, only without all their players and more with just our players. Although, I know they're a good team now.
Well, they went to the World
Series. And I know they went to the World Series. I know they beat us, but I'd still rather be the Astros, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I still like our players better.
No, I like our players better. They got, guys that we don't want on our team. No, they got a lot of guys. Our team is much more exciting than their team.
Yeah.
They don't, they use.
I mean, they have Randy Arozarena.
They use an opener.
Yeah.
They don't hit like we hit.
I do think they might be onto the opener thing, like just get rid of Brooks Raley in inning one. Like, we stole an inning from you, boys. You guys had the bases loaded. Bases loaded and grounded into a triple play.
Is this something you want? Brooks Raley facing 1-2-3 in the other team's
as an
order?
Opener. Yeah.
Really?
That's because when he gives up his runs, the game's not over.
Glad you're not managing this team.
Would you rather have a grand slam in the
Brooks
first?
Raley against
would you
the seven,
rather have
eight,
a grand slam
guys.
In the eighth or the first?
What? I don't want a grand slam ever.
I know, but if you had to have a grand slam, would you rather have it in the first inning or the eighth inning?
First inning.
Yeah. And
unless I'm up by 12, I don't care then.
Yeah.
Right? Because our team is better. Is better hitters. Our team is dynamite.
What's Randy Arozarena doing this year?
Not as good.
He's got 13 homers, 47 RBIs. Yeah. His OPS 756.
756 ain't nothing.
He was literally
but guess
eight,
what?
He went from eight. He was 1,000 OPS last year.
Yeah.
He ruined us. I've never been more terrified since, literally, since Albert Pujols. I was afraid. Judge makes me nervous when Aaron Judge, not Mike Judge. Mike Judge from Beavis and Butthead has never made me scared when he's up at the plate.
Yeah.
Aaron Judge
or Joe
made me,
Judge, the,
or
the,
Joe
the,
Judge
the
never
coach.
Never concerns me, which I thought it was interesting that Nick Caserio used Joe Judge in one of his quotes because they both came from the Patriots,
right,
I guess.
Right, right, right. But we're not Patriots South.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
Aaron Judge, I'm still pretty afraid of when he steps up to the plate. I mean, he's a hulking player. However, Randy Rosarena, I was just like, oh, my God, not this guy again. Last playoffs,
yeah,
you just knew he was terrifying. Nice 756 OPS.
Wait a minute.
Now.
You know, 756 OPS is Miles Straw neighborhood.
Dude, he struck out 100. Last year, he had 76 plate appearances last year, and then he murdered people in the postseason. But he's got 401 plate appearances now. He struck out. He's been caught stealing 7 times. Leads the league. He's struck out 107 times in 400 in literally 356 at bats.
So
this guy ruined our World Series.
760 Astros. 762 OPS. Alex DeGaudi. That's who he is. That's who he is. The same. It's about the same OPS as Alex DeGaudi. Of course, Alex DeGaudi had 6 plate appearances, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
But actually, Chaz McCormick is much better than Randy Rosarena, so I ain't scared.
Who would you rather have, Randy Rosarena or
Chaz McCormick? McCormick?
I don't know about that.
Well, that's you. That's not me. Okay? I believe in my guys.
Who's
I
got
believe
more homers
in James
this
Click.
Year?
I believe in Chaz McCormick.
I know you believe in Chaz McCormick.
I believe in Miles Straw all year, even though he's fallen off to 262 now. Suck out, Miles Straw. It's 856 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776. Aaron Rodgers reported and had some interesting things to say yesterday about Aaron Rodgers, how much he loves Aaron Rodgers, and how everybody should think of Aaron Rodgers. Okay, so that's what we'll get to on the other side. Everyone should think about Craig DeCerf, too.
Craig DeCerf is someone who's thinking about you. He thinks about his workers. The workers there stay at the location because I'm telling you right now, it is all about taking care of the people who work under him. It's a family atmosphere. The same thing can be said for everyone who comes into Angleton and wants to get a vehicle. He's going to make sure that you get the very best from selection to service to value to trade-in. His trade-in value is amazing. Right now they have 0% financing going on for 72 months for select models on the Chevy side. So Chevy Equinox, for example, get that 0% financing and really get the best deals that you found at any point. Now this is going to end at the end of July. So the next set of programs will come up. If you want to see what the program is going to be next month, make sure you check in at landzcars.com and see what they've got on their website. But just speak to one of the salespeople, either in person, on the phone, or even online, and you can start the car buying experience. Even if you're just doing it very tentatively, you're not going to feel any pressure. This is a promise that I make to you. Whether you're online or in person, you're not going to have that pressure. So make sure that you check them out at LanceZCars.com. And when it comes time for your car buying experience, make sure that you trust the company who is top 5% in the country with GMC awards. And that is my good friends over at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and World Series champion, and big fan of Gulf Coast Chevrolet in Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.
Now at McDonald's, a McDouble is only $2.50. So you can get your gym gains on or just get lunch for only $2.50. Get more value on the under $3 menu.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.